Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Shalimar Paints Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Rasika Savant. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call of Shalimar Paints Limited. Today on this call we have Mr. Ashok Kumar Gupta, Managing Director, along with the senior management team. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of company's investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and company's website as well. With this, I hand over the call to Mr. Mohit Kumar Dhonkar for his opening remark. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Rasika. Good afternoon, everyone. I thank you very much, all the investors who attend this call. This is the time on, you know, quarterly interval when we all meet and we share the insights about the organizations, how we have performed in the quarter as well as YTD year to date. I'm happy to share quarterly as well as half yearly results of your company with you. The quarter was, you know, really good. The momentum was good in the top line as well as in the, you know, on the raw material side during the quarter. Though the raw material prices are significantly, you know, increasing from beginning of the year. Yes, now I believe these are softening and coming down after September and October. Yes, that is, you know, forward-looking. For September, if I talk about, we closed the top line with 111 crore rupees, which was in line with the previous quarter of this financial year, which was 110 crore rupees. From last year, if we talk about, we have grown by 22% in the quarter. Last quarter, we closed with 91 crore rupees. If I talk about H1, that is, we have closed with 221 crore rupees. That is 41% growth from the previous year, in half year against the 156 crore rupees. COGS is 75% because raw material prices are better from the last year, but yes, from the previous quarter, more or less either few items of solvent-based commodity was on the higher side. That is coming, you know, on the lower side. Yes, we are up by 2% during the quarter vis-à-vis previous quarter. Last year, we closed gross margin of 22%, whereas in this quarter we closed gross margin of 25%. Employee costs as well as the other fixed costs are in line with the, you know, same vis-à-vis last quarter as well as the last year. 11% is employee expenses, which was same in the last quarter and better off from the last year's same quarter, that was 12%. Fixed costs is remain 19% in previous quarter and 17% this quarter. It is better off by 2% vis-à-vis, you know, last year it is again 19%. It was 19%, so it is better off by 2%. If I talk about EBITDA during the year, during the quarter, it's 4.7 crore negative if I talk about operational EBITDA. Half yearly it is 7.34 crore rupees vis-à-vis 16.7 crore last year. We are better off in terms of EBITDA. We have recovered the losses, EBITDA losses. Yes, from the previous quarter it is slightly higher side, but as from the Q2 FY22, we are almost at the half of the losses. We have recovered losses and we are on the right track. As far as my loss is concerned, we have closed the quarter with negative 10.75 crore rupees, which was 16.7 crore last year. In the previous quarter it was 9.5 crore rupees. I think, with overall sentiments of the industry as well as the market are good. Now markets are open and we are also, you know, getting a good traction in the market as far as top line is concerned, and we are hopeful to have a better presence in the market as well as in the business line. Thank you very much. Over to you, Rasika.
Can Kuldeep give the information now? Kuldeep?
Yeah. So, hope I am audible. Yeah. So, so the quarter, as Mohit said, has been good for us, and we have grown. Our growth has been ahead of the industry growth. As a result of which, we in terms of if we look at what actions we have taken during the quarter, we have worked aggressively on dealer expansion. We have worked aggressively on painters. Who kind of influenced the sale in paint industry, which worked in our favor. And as a result of which, our emulsion sales grew by at least 94%, and which helped us kind of protect our bottom line also in spite of the inflationary reasons in the marketplace. As such, the inflation has been to the tune of 6 to 8%, whereas the prices which were passed on to the market was in the tune of 3.5% only, but still with this emulsion saliency going up by at least 8 to 10%, we were able to protect our bottom line as such. Apart from this, we have been able to, as I said, worked very aggressively around painter fraternity, which gave us, we were able to kind of grow in terms of numbers. We were able to grow by, say, at least 50 to 60% in what you call as new painter acquisition. And when it comes to activation and active painters, it grew by some 40 to 46%. As a result of which, our throughput through painter fraternity went up by at least 6 to 7%. We currently have at 20 to 21%. Apart from this, as I said, we went into market expansion mode and we opened up some 800 outlets and customers for ourselves, and which as a result of which gave us some 8 to 9% incremental sale as well. So these are some of the highlights during the quarter. And during the season time, we did a good marketing activity in terms of creating visibility in the marketplace and covered most of the markets. At least 50% of the markets we covered in the last 2 months' time, wherein a good kind of visibility was created for the brand Shalimar. So these are some of the activities done during the quarter. Yeah.
Thank you, Kuldeep.
Yeah.
So may we open the lines for questions now?
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manan Polaria from MKP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, Manan.
Congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. So, sir, what I broadly wanted to ask is, do you guys have any internal projections for, say, 2 or 3 years down the line? In terms of revenue, bottom line, whatever numbers that you guys have projected internally.
Yeah, actually, we do have. We have a plan of action for increasing our sales. So, currently, if you observe, we have been targeting growth of around 30-35% year on year, and we have been looking at 30-35% growth over last year. That is the number for current year, and in next 2 years also, we hope to continue with this growth momentum. So our plan is that each year, which is this year of 21-22, we should be growing anywhere between 30-35% year on year.
Right, sir. Also, based on current capacities, what is the utilization level?
So overall, it's around 55%, 55-60%. Going forward, we would be increasing our capacity utilization to 70%-75%. Having said that, we are also planning to install certain balancing equipment, which will enhance our capacity.
Right.
We are not paying too much attention to the capacity part of it, because we have created capacities for future. We are putting
Right.
For future. The important part is, in case our sales, our volumes, our incomes continue to grow around 30%-35%, I think we are set for a good future.
Right, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that. I have just one more question. Will we be focusing more on growing our presence in the industrial paint space, or is the normal B2C painting space our primary focus right now?
Both. Actually, we cannot do with one without the other. The reason is that, you know, the kind of growth we are targeting, 30%+, is not possible to achieve only from one segment.
Right.
The breakup of the segment is 65% decorative and some 35% industrial.
Right.
Possible that I grow too fast in one and not so fast in other, because the our expectations, our aspirations are pretty high.
Right, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any participant who has a question may enter star and one. We will take our next question from the line of Madhav P. from Shravas Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Actually, congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is, sir, in the current quarter of 111 crores, how much did accrue from our partner, Inframart?
Inframart is around 5 crores-6 crores.
Okay, okay. So, okay, so majority, 97%-98% majority accrued from our own expansion and price hikes. And also, may I know the volume growth this quarter?
It's around 10%-12%. That is year-on-year.
Okay, 10%-12%. So there is some product mix change as well for us.
Kuldeep?
Quarter two.
Kuldeep?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What is the volume growth year-on-year for the quarter?
So for the quarter, it was 12%, and if you look at it year-on-year, it's 22%.
Okay.
Okay, 12%. So 10%, so okay, okay. So there is some product mix change in line.
Yeah.
So continuing on the first participant questions, you were actually saying you are looking at 30%-35% growth this year for FY 2023. Just wanted to know, I mean, in the rating rationale, we were rated by Acuité. So in the rating rationale mentioned, I think, we kind of guided or we projected revenues of 650 crores. So if I look at 35% kind of growth on FY 2022, it's close to around 495. So just wanted to understand where that difference in this thing is.
There are two differences here. You see, when the rating thing was there, it was a gross number, inclusive of all the discounts and rebates we gave. If we exclude that, the number comes down significantly. And the second part is that the rating numbers were our initial plans, which we did last year. And having seen the kind of changes which have taken place in the current year, the recessionary trend and the demand outlook, so we had revised our plans in the month of April. And this, so we are looking at around 30%-35% growth on a realistic basis in the current year.
Okay, okay. Okay. On the same note, sir, if I look into FY 2024, you know, say, expecting maybe do around this 30 crores on a base of 500 crores. So how much do you think from the 650 crores can accrue from infra market, going forward, say, second half and then next year as well?
I wish they do well.
Okay.
We are working on that. We are working with them. We are working closely with them, and I'm sure they will, their contribution will grow significantly in days to come. But it's not only the number. Actually, they are helping us in number of ways. They're helping us by, you know, involving the synergy. So it so happens that all the sales we do not kind of pass through them. Many of the sales which they help us in getting, for example, from projects or from large customers or from their own customers, we bill directly to the customer. So that sale is not projected through infra market sale. Infra market sale is projected only what we build through them, which could be limited. But the assistance and the guidance and the support we are getting from them is much higher, because in many cases we will be bidding directly to the customer as well.
Okay. So do we pay some kind of channel partner commission, etc., to infra market for the services, like when they give us leads or any kind of customer synergy in terms of customer?
No. So infra market, we are treating them as any other distributor. So they are primarily one of the distributors that we have, so many distributors. And all the transactions are happening through them in the same way as they happen to any other distributor.
So fully at arm's length.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll come back and see for more questions.
Sure.
Thank you. We'll take a next question. That's from the line of Kevin Gandhi from CapGrow Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello sir, hi. So my question was, how is the hiring in like quite different verticals in the sales and marketing, the R&D, how that has been shaped like in a few quarters, and how do you foresee the growth going forward, like by the change of team that is happening since quite a few quarters? So if you can give some color on the same, it will be really helpful. Thank you.
Definitely, we'll make it completely colorful. So there are four different parts of hiring. One is a senior leadership team, which normally consists of people who are team leaders in each of the functions. Second is hiring for sales and marketing people, who are basically the front-facing team in the company. The third is a production group. And the fourth is a support team by way of finance and logistics and procurement and HR and all that. So our hiring has been significantly focused on the senior team. So I think to a large extent, we have been able to settle the senior team now, and not much of a hiring is taking place at this stage for the senior team. Senior team has almost been taken care of. We already have a strong team at the support group, whether it's logistics, etc. So we don't need much of a people there. Again, so far as plants are concerned, we've got three operating plants, and all of three plants are pretty stable. So there, whenever required, we do take extra labor, but we do not need any significant staff strength per se. So maximum hiring is taking place only in sales, and because we are needing more feet on street, we are trying to increase our footprints, and we are trying to go deeper into the hinterlands. So I will say our 70-80% hiring is taking place only in sales. And we are trying to take people with a similar experience.
Okay, so thank you. That was helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we'd like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Jay Shah from KZB Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello,
Jay Shah.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, could you please help me understand how things are standing out within the quarter for both the segments for industrial decorative in region-wise, like in the east, and if they're going anywhere else?
Okay, let me give you a brief of what is happening. But before I give a brief, my director of sales, Mr. Kuldeep, is on the call. I think he can explain to you in detail both on the industrial front and decorative front, and each of the role for decorative fronts, how things are shaping. Kuldeep, please.
That would be very well.
Yeah. So in terms of between the two segments, decorative and industrial, if you see our growths on a half-yearly basis are almost the same, but we found a very great attraction during second quarter in industrial business, because due to extended rain and all, decorative business was a bit impacted, and there were two reasons to this. If you look at every year, if between monsoon and Diwali, if you have a longish period of time, decorative sales peak, which happened the other way around this time in terms of the shorter period between Diwali and monsoon ending. So there was a little bit of lull in terms of decorative sales, but industrial picked up during quarter two. That was point number one. Second, in terms of the regional, if we look at we are stronger, relatively stronger in north and east, so they have performed well for us, followed by south and followed by west. That has been in terms of the growth trajectory.
So we've got market share from the south also this time?
Yes, yes. So if we look at in both the quarters, as I said, we have grown at least 8 to 10% more than the industry growth. And we have, if I have to say, across markets, we have gained a share in the both the quarters. And on the half-yearly basis, we have gained share.
So this would primarily be in the industrial paint side, I'm assuming.
No, both industrial as well as decorative. See, our growth is on a half-yearly basis is just one notch up. It is 2 or 3% more in decorative business. Otherwise, as I mentioned, second quarter was better for industrial business than decorative. The growth rates were higher in industrial as compared to decorative. But if you look at market share gain, it has been in both the segments.
So another question that I had was that our dealer network and the number of depots across our country.
Yeah.
We progressing with that, and what is our dealer margins at the moment, which you know we are looking to optimize as the presentation.
So when it comes to the infrastructure, starting from dealers to distributors to new formats of distribution, and as you mentioned about depots. Going forward, we will definitely add because we are venturing into new markets and we are expanding our horizon. We are getting into new territories. We are expanding the footprint in the marketplace. So with that, whatever infrastructure requirement will be there, be it in terms of depots, be it in terms of other stock points, we will create. As of now, we have identified at least 5 to 6 depots which will get kind of created in next one quarter time. And as such, as far as distribution is concerned, as I mentioned, our top line grew at least by incremental growth of 8% we got through new distribution. And that will continue for the next half of the year also.
So currently, sir, what would be our dealer network?
So if we look at currently, we started the year at around 5,500, and we ended up some 800, 820 outlets. So we are currently hovering between 6,600 and 3,000.
That is a very good improvement.
Yeah.
Also, so we have increased increase in number of painters. Since
yes.
This, I could not understand what this statement meant. So if you could please help me understand this, it would be great.
Okay. So when it comes to paint industry, painters and dealers play a vital role in terms of the brand recognition, advocacy. So they recommend which brand to use and which not to use. So we understood our weak areas, weak links, and we started working on that. We had not a good number of painters associated with our brand. So we went aggressive and we increased this number from 2,000 active to 4,500 active painters today what we have. We have a list of some 30,000 painters with us who are registered with us, but active painters were just 2,300, which has almost doubled in the last 2-3 months' time. And as such, it has helped us to improve our emulsion saliency, and it has also helped us create a pull in the marketplace. When the painter goes and asks for a particular brand, when he starts asking for Shalimar, then dealers are bound to keep it, and hence it helps you to build the brand in the marketplace. So the numbers have gone up, but a long way to go. We are working aggressively on this painter fraternity, and in times to come, we want ourselves to be known a respected brand in the painter community.
Thank you so much, sir, for your input. I'm very glad with this improvement in this entire scenario.
Yeah.
Keep performing like this. Best of luck.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manan Patel from Edelweiss Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Congratulations for good numbers. Sir, first question is, you just mentioned 6,000 to 6,300 dealers, but I would like to understand how many of them are active, because you have mentioned that around 3,000 were active in the past. So what would that number be right now?
So active dealer number, as I mentioned, out of 800, there are 500 to 550 who have come up new across the table. So we are currently at 3,300 to 3,500. Because see, in industry, you will see that there is a depletion also. Every year, at least 4 to 5% get depleted as far as the number is concerned. So effectively, if you see, out of 800, 500, 550 are active dealers.
Okay, got it. Sir, yeah. Second question is, we were planning to do some balancing capex and technology upgrade. And yeah. Have we finalized the plans for that and the capex amount that will be required?
Yeah, we have worked something on that. So we are looking at modernizing all our plants. Basically, when I say modernizing, at this stage, we are not going for very state-of-the-art technology, but we are trying to update ourselves to whatever the industry standards. Currently, we are slightly behind the industry. We will be spending, I think, close to some 70 to 100 crore rupees on that in the next couple of years. And that should be sufficient to give us the first tip in terms of upgradation and balancing equipment.
So, sir, for this capex, we will be required to raise debt, right? Because right now we are sort of burning cash. So, what would be your outlook on the debt and the balance sheet?
It will take some time for us to really work it out. At this time, we are just forming our plans of what to do and when to do. And we are hoping that now onwards, we will not be burning cash, we will be generating cash. So, keeping both in mind, we will try to keep our borrowing at the minimum possible level. Perhaps very limited borrowing will be required. But at the moment, we haven't really worked it out, how much will be going through borrowing and how much will be going through our own funds. Another couple of months, we will be finalizing that as well.
And so just to clarify on the previous questions, so did you mention the growth on quarter-on-quarter basis is 10 to 12% and year on, volume growth I'm talking about, and year-on-year basis is 22%?
Yeah, Sudhir, you want to answer that question?
Yeah. So, if we look at the quarter one, so our value growth was in the tune of 33%. So, if we look at the quarter basis, we are at 12% in the second quarter as far as volume growth is concerned. And on an annualized basis, we are at 18%.
So, 12% growth in Q2 versus the last quarter or versus Q1?
No, versus last quarter, last year same quarter.
Okay, okay. And sir, we have mentioned that 20% price hike we have taken. So that has come into full effect during the quarter, or that that will reflect in coming quarter?
I think it will. You will see the reflection in coming quarter. Some of it has already been taken into account. Some will be coming up in the Q3 and Q4.
So, will that help our COGS go down from 75% in coming quarters?
We expect COGS to go down in both the quarters, Q3 as well as Q4.
Okay. Okay. Great, sir. Thanks a lot. And sir, just one more thing. Till last quarter, we were adding a slide which was showing volumes in both the segments, but this time we have not added that slide. So that slide was very helpful. So if you can add it from the next time, it would be very helpful.
Sure, Madam. We will take care.
Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Question may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Ninad Sabnis from Sabnis Financials. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Picking up from one of the last questions, you mentioned that we are hopefully targeting to reduce the cash burn. I wanted to understand some more on that perspective. From the cash flow, I see like on the balance sheet, we have much like our cash and bank balance is down to almost half. And investing cash flows are also a bit higher. So can you just let us know what has happened on that front?
Okay. You see, two things. One is the cash burn. So going forward, we are hoping that cash burn will not be there.
Right.
Second part is, where is the cash which we have on the balance sheet, it goes. So basically, we have generated cash to boost our working capital. And for 5 to 10 crores, which has gone primarily for CapEx,
okay,
and another some 45-50 crores which has gone to for payment of distillery, all the money has gone for working capital loans.
But the inventory days are, I think, reducing, so I am not really clear as to how the...
20 days are reduced. 20 days are also reduced. I'm continue.
Okay.
So in absolute terms, inventory is higher, but yes, in terms of days, it is down.
Okay, so are we sitting on a much higher price inventory?
Because, no, it's not about the higher price, because if you see the
raw materials have seen serious escalation last 2 quarters.
Yeah, one impact is the raw material prices, but the second impact is the sales number are also growing, right? So to maintain the top line, we need to have inventory in line with the sales, and we having across presence across the nation. We have 33 depots, so a marginally high inventory building up to map the sales or to match the sales is required. So if we talk about that overall inventory, it is from June. We were having an inventory of 115 crore and now we are at 107 crore, right? But yes,
okay.
in March, we were around 98 crore rupees, so slightly higher than the March numbers.
Hmm.
But yes, from the previous quarter, we are little down.
And
we are improving.
Hmm. Okay. And one big picture or a broader macro level question, as we are seeing... Like we will be seeing over the next 2 years, the government is making bigger push on infra development. So are we expecting to capture the opportunity and maybe grow our industrial segment much higher? Do we stand to benefit from that?
Of course, our name includes infra. So
yeah,
the infra push, our numbers will go up, and
okay,
the overall volumes also will go up. We are getting a lot of emphasis on new projects. We are significantly present in, as you saw, industrial, over 35%. And within industrial, we have a strong presence in pipelines and in segments there, which are used mainly for infrastructure, water transportation, oil storage.
Okay.
So those all are areas where government is pushing, and we obviously will benefit.
Correct. So that's a great... avenue for growth, but it usually also creates another problem on the delayed cash flows, and payments are usually not as, timelines are not as good when you are involved in a government project. So how do we manage that?
So there are two aspects to it. One is you are supplying direct to government projects or through dealers where the payments are not a problem. Second is you are supplying to contractors where payment could be a problem. So we are trying nowadays to route our supplies to the contractors more and more to dealers so that our exposure is limited.
Okay, great. That was really good to know, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks for it.
Thank you. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Vaibhav, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, and thank you for taking my question. So my question is a follow-up on what the last participant asked on the debt profile of the company. As of and we get half yearly numbers. So if I look at the September 21, which is last year same quarter end debt figure, it was about 150 odd crores. In the interim, over the last three quarters, you've raised about 252 odd crores. We have ended the quarter again with a net debt of about 14 odd crores. Now, there is clearly some gap, which has been on account of the working capital that you rightly mentioned. So, one, what is, the main components of this working capital, especially around the payables, which you have, now reduced, and the receivables which have increased disproportionately versus the revenue. So, that's the first question on the debt. Second, for the balance, so if I look at your 6 month numbers, on the cash flow side, if I include your cash losses plus your working capital plus all the capex that you have done, you are in the ballpark of an 80 crore, cash deficit that, these heads have created. There is still roughly about 20 odd crores, which is unreconciled versus what would have happened, say, between the second half of the last fiscal year. So that's the second question on that. Third, your finance costs are still about, in excess of 4 crores of quarter. Now, with a gross debt number of about 97 crores, and I'm assuming 55 crores would be accounted for on account of the OCD proceeds from Hella, your cost of borrowing in excess of 16-17% doesn't reconcile. So, if you could help with those three questions, please.
Yeah, so, you want to answer that question? Yeah, sir. So, Vaibhav, let me take your last question first. So our interest cost is, because the surplus funds have been parked in FD and that is not in, in the other income line item. But yes, as you rightly mentioned, that the majority of the interest part is in terms of OCD's interest, that is at the 9% coupon rate. And the second one is our term loan, which is with the IDFC and few ECLGS loans, right? At the weighted average of around, if I talk about, it's around 11.5% to 12%, right? So majority of the interest, the interest line is only on account of the term loans and very minimal charges for, LC charges and the other charges.
So your peak interest across your loan profile, the peak interest is about 11.5%, right? So if I look at the 97 crore gross debt number, how does it reconcile with the 4 crore quarterly, financial cost that you're incurring?
So if I talk about my total debt, that is, if I see, the another one is, financial liabilities. It's the borrowing is my 97, right?
Correct.
Vis-a-vis, it was, as on March, it was around 140. So we have repaid our debt. We have repaid our debt, right, to the tune of around 46 to 48 crore rupees. So, and on this 97, which is mainly 55 crore of my OCD borrowing, and around 22 crore rupees my IDFC borrowing. So these are the numbers which is in front of you right now.
So going forward, this number should drop down to about 2.5 crores, right?
So, so OCD part would be, OCD interest would be, will stop. One, this will be converted into my equity parts. So these are convertible debentures and the moment it will trigger into the equity, this part will, be away.
No, but even if it does not convert, for 97 crores, if I just, let's assume you are on a cash break-even and whatever cash you generate, offsets the capex that you will do for the next quarter, and we are at, in the next quarter also at a gross debt number of say about 95 to 100 crores, your quarterly financial cost should go down to about 2-2.5 crores.
Yeah, basically there is an LC charge and other bank charges which is there for, which is for your working capital. That is also included in the finance cost. But yes, for 2.5 crore rupees, you are right in terms of the OCD cost. But as the term loan, if we'll take that weighted average cost, if we'll assume 9%, that will go up. So roughly, interest cost would remain, down by 1 crore, I'll say, not 2.5 crore on the quarterly. Right?
Okay, understood. The other questions, please. Thank you.
So, So you have mentioned our total debt profile of the organization. From March onwards or from February onwards, we raised around 300 crore rupees. right? And out of these 300 crore rupees, we have utilized around 140 crore rupees as of now. And my cash loss, if I talk about, is around 13 crore rupees. Out of this 140 crore, 46 crore rupees in terms of term loan repayment, and around 20 crore rupees is to the old overdue creditors. And the remaining is in terms of the working capital, be it, you know, debtors, inventory, and the repayment of the creditor. Because now we are also leveraging, you know, the better terms with the vendors for the procurement of raw materials, and we are paying them in time.
Okay.
Yeah,
almost 38 odd crores is a reduction in your, you know, creditors other than micro and small enterprises. So what is the nature of these payables that, you know, you've been able to bring down, and how does it help the business going forward?
Hello, Mohit.
So, yes, sir.
Mohit, can you take up the questions and reconcile separately?
Okay. Okay, sir. So, but other than micro, is my other creditors, like my other fixed expenses, administration expenses, those are the questions, right? But for payables on the raw material side, it is under the MSME category and the others, due creditors, right?
So, the way I look at it, you know, and so we would have, you know, as investors, and, you know, I've been tracking the company for, you know, good 3.5 years now, ever since, you know, Mr. Gupta came to the, you know, took helm, and, you know, he had a lot of, you know, very promising outlook that we all as investors thought of. I think given the amount of fundraising that you've been able to do, you know, there is almost a 32% dilution now. I think the big positive for the company has been that you've been able to repay the debt and possibly, you know, ease the working capital situation. But given that growth, you know, and you've, you know, still reached numbers which you were, you know, probably hitting in the ballpark of even pre-COVID, how would you assess your own performance if you, you know, especially look at the last 1.5 years since we've come out of the COVID situation and you've been able to get such good partners? If there are any comments from you on that.
Yeah, I'll tell you what has happened. You see, any improvement in performance has two parts. One is your revenue has to go up. Secondly, your margins have to improve. Now, after we have got the funding, one of our critical factors, which was a big impediment, has helped us in increasing our revenue. So our revenue in first half is at least at par or slightly shade better than the industry. That part we have been able to take care to a good degree. Second part is margins. So if you compare the margins of the industry, let us say 4 or 5 players, over last 2-3 years, so you'll be see that there has been a 9-10% drop in margins over last, let us say, 2 years. Now this has been because of the commodity increase which has happened across the world. So just like industry average margins have gone down by around 10%, so has been ours. We used to work at a gross margin of 35%, now we are at 25%. Going forward, these margins have started reversing. So already we are seeing that our gross margins have started improving from 23 to 25 to nowadays, if I see monthly margins, they're coming close to 27-28%. On the same revenue, if my gross margin was at 35%, I would have been making significant amount of profit. Even if they were around 27-28, which I am seeing now, we would have again in positive. So if I can maintain my revenue at the current level, which is the H1 level, and my margins improve because of the softening of the commodity prices, we are in positive. So I think now the stage is all set for us to reap the benefit of softening commodity prices, keep our revenues, the trajectory which we have continued, and I think we are what we had targeted for. Two factors which have gone against us till now. One was, of course, COVID, which disrupted the market completely, and we were the worst affected because we had a limited reach. And second is high commodity prices. So high commodity prices affected everybody. So in the case of our industry peers, they affected EBITDA. The EBITDA has gone down, let us say, from 25 to 15%. For us, it became a
it became a kind of a big problem, because as it is, we were at a zero beta and became significantly lower. If I see it from that angle, that everybody in the industry has seen their EBITDA go down by 10% from 25 to let us say 15%, then I think we are almost at par with what the industry is doing. There is some progress. So these are the two environmental factors which affected us. Hopefully going forward, the same environmental factor will be helping us. That's just in short the whole scenario.
Thank you very much, sir. Mr. Webber, we request you to please return to the queue. There are several participants waiting for their turn. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we would request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. Time permitting, you may come back in the queue for a follow-up question. We'll take our next question. That's from the line of Dilip Sahu, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Good set of numbers, sir. Congratulations. My question is this 30-35 aspired growth numbers, how much is that constrained by availability of capital? Primarily the reason I'm asking this question is because in the last 5-6 years we have got multiple rounds of equity, which helped us you know, in both capex and you know, as well as our working capital funding. But you know, obviously there cannot be multiple new rounds of equity raise. So so will that affect the 35% aspiring growth? That is question number one. And question number, so essentially what I'm asking is the slope at which you are expecting the gross margin to expand, which will give us better cash flow, free cash flow. Will that be enough to expand our growth at 35%? And second question is regarding, you know, we are already at the middle of November, you know, end of the festive season. So can you tell us how did, and I would assume that this is the peak quarter for paints business, how is the season, you know, went by, particularly in tier 2, tier 3 cities? And the regions like East, where we are, you know, we have a majority of our share. Thank you.
So you are right that we had multiple rounds of funding. Now here again, I'll if you compare, paint industry is a guzzler of capital. So if you see anybody investing, normally they don't invest in thousands, hundreds, they invest in thousands. And we have been giving investing a significantly lower number as compared to the industry peers. Most of the people have been investing a couple of thousand, 2,000, 3,000, 5,000 crores, and we have been talking of 100, 200 crores. We had two or maybe three series of funding, but it was 50 crores and followed by around 190 crores and followed by this current funding. So as compared to the peers, even in two or three rounds of funding, our total amount is insignificant, much less than what the peers have been doing. That is one aspect. Kind of funding which we have got now, we hope there will not be any constraint on the growth in sales. So today our constraint in growth in sales is not funds per se. Our constraint in growth of sales could be our reach. So as you know, in consumer goods, you do not get growth in sales by tinkering with the prices or by tinkering with the discounts. It's a gradual process. You have to enter into the nervous system of the consumer. You have to enter into their brain. You have to enter into their, you know, into their environment. So that's a slow process. Slowly you have to change that. You have to take 1%, 2%. And that's why the growth in the consumer good industry, the increase in the market share cannot be dramatic. Unlike in commodities, where if you decrease your prices slightly, there's possibility you can garner higher market share. So it's a slow process. And if we see this first half as compared to last year first half, our revenue growth is slightly higher than our large peers, which basically means we have gained some market share. Because our market share as it is so low, so this doesn't make much of a sense to say what how much market share we gained, but definitely we have, which is a positive indication. In such a market, you do gain market share by making hardly any investment
We are talking of an investment on level small percentage of our peers, you know, 10% or 15% of our peers, still you happen to gain market share. I think that speaks volumes on you about your strategy. That is one. Secondly, you see, going our margins should be improving because we had a very big handicap. That handicap was we were never paying our wages on time. So obviously they will either supply you and neither nor they will give you a good price. Again, creditors take time to understand your behavior. We have been trying to behave properly with them for the last 4-5 months now. We started in some in the month of April and May. So today only people are started coming back to us and asking us that they would like to deal with us. Till now, this should be the other way around. We should tell the suppliers, please deal with us and it's okay, we'll see, we'll consider it. So I think these two changes which have taken place, A, are getting market share at whatever small amount it may be, slowly creeping in. And secondly, suppliers coming back to us. These are two major changes which are happening. These changes are slow, very slow, particularly in the consumer industry, but they are long term. So with these two changes, we are hoping that we will turn the tide.
Yeah. There was a second question regarding the season, how it's panning out.
Which one, sir?
Just like, you know, typically Q2, Q3 are the peak season. There's a lot of...
Oh, Q3 till now is almost on a similar level. We are having growth over last year. And I will say that growth is in... growth till now is there. There was even difference in last year and current year. You see, last year, our season is always pre-Diwali, not post-Diwali. Last year, our Diwali was in November, this year it is in October. So that is one difference which will not be able to make the numbers comparable. Having said that, we are definitely going to have a growth over last year in the Q3 current year over last year.
Okay. So the price hike, which is quite steep, has been taken well. That's what you are saying. I mean, it's not a negative phase now.
Yeah, we have taken almost significant, 100% it has not. See, today also, the gross margin of competitors is almost 9%, 10% lower than their best ever. Best ever used to be 45%, today it's 35%. If you talk of, you know, our comparable competitors. So, we are 10% far away, but we are much better than what we were. The worst days are over.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Madhav P. from Travers Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Firstly, just wanted to understand, currently out of 3,800 dealers, you said we added 800 this quarter. So how many would be exclusive or rather even primary dealers of Shalimar P, both of what we added and also the different numbers?
Sandeep. Yeah. So, I would say when it comes to exclusive dealers, there are very few. But today, the industry, if we look at the paint industry, 70 to 75% is MBOs, multi-brand outlets only. So, so in our case also, that feels the same, that the most of them, I would say 95% of these dealers which have been opened up are MBOs, multi-brand outlets, and not exclusive in nature.
So would we at least be the secondary, if not the primary, the secondary brand here in terms of preference? So for the dealer, would we generate the second highest revenue? Say, suppose he's talking 3 or 4 brands.
Yeah. So I would say 10% of our dealer base, if we look at, we enjoy a dominant share of that particular shop, but it is hardly 5 to 10%, not more than that.
Okay. Yeah. And so we, when we try enrolling more dealers or assets, right? See, if I look at the whole universe of paint dealers in the country, assuming it is around 1,50,000 or 1,60,000 crores, right? Yeah. The market leader is more than 1 lakh dealers, right? And majority of them will already have at least 2 or 3 brands, as you said. So in such a case, how would we entice or even enroll someone to stock our products? Like, what exactly do we offer? Say in terms of is it higher margins or a better credit period? So someone who's already you know, stalking the market leader or even number two in terms of market share, why would someone you know, stock our product. So understand is how do we sell? So what is our USP or selling point to the dealer, for a new dealer?
So apart from what you mentioned as extended credit period or all, we are trying to kind of do the other way around in terms of creating a demand for the product. Now, demand will essentially happen through a dealer push or a painter accepting and kind of asking for the product. So as I mentioned, we have aggressively started working on the painter fraternity, and we are going to train them in future. We are doing telecalling to them. We are doing meets with them, and we are trying to tell them about the USPs of our product. By and large, if we look at all the comparisons which have done, so we are equivalent, and in some cases we are better than the competing products in the marketplace. So through this route, we are wanting to create a kind of pull for our products, which will help us building Shalimar as a brand in the marketplace, as a significant brand in the marketplace, and which will help us also to grow significantly in coming times. So that is one route. And as dealer push, and as such, we are going to use some digital platforms also to connect with consumers, which will also help us in building Shalimar as a brand and get into their consideration set, so to say.
So on the same note, right, likewise, like how we also enroll painters, even competition does the same, right? They have clubs and other things, right?
Yes.
How is our incentive structure or our, you know, the software aspects very different from how it is with competition for someone who is actually, you know, been using Asian or say Berger for a long time, for them to switch or also take our product? So how is the...
So through our leads and all, one, in terms of the incentive part, we are slightly higher than the competition in terms of the incentive for the painter. And secondly, through these leads, which I said, we have aggressively started doing now the consumer touch points and the painter meets, we are actually explaining about the superiority of our product. Because the first rejection happens from the consumer side in terms of Shalimar not being in the consideration set or not being on the top of the recall. So we kind of portray our products as superior products than the competition in terms of the shine, in terms of sheen, in terms of the product superiority. So that helps them in terms of educating the consumer also that this is one notch up as compared to the other products available in the market. And as I mentioned, that certain interventions in terms of schemes and certain interventions in terms of our incentives being better than the competition is also helping us penetrate into this painter setting.
Sure. Sir, and the last question from my side, in terms of new products, right? So any traction, or we introduced any new products, like how we actually want to see in the construction chemical sub-segment?
Yeah.
You know, there's still 25% white space between us and our competition, where we are not present, where there's no overlap. So anything on this front?
Yeah, sure. So what we have done is, in terms of, you have rightly pointed out, waterproofing, since it has a lot of synergy with the paint industry in terms of both channel as well as product level, in terms of application also. So in the last 4-5 years' time, waterproofing has become a significant part of paint industry. And if I have to quote a number, it is 7-8% today is being contributed by new businesses, which includes waterproofing also, adhesives, waterproofing. So we have also ventured into this by the category name as Home Protect. And we have already rolled out our first offering, which contributes to say 30-40% of waterproofing today, which is to do with dampness. Because if you look at Indian household structures, at least 60-70% have this problem of dampness. And it is being used as an undercoat. It is a replacement of primer. As a customer, everybody is wanting to get rid of this dampness on the walls and all. So that is the first product which we have rolled out. And I'm happy to share with you that we got very good initial feedback for this product. And in Home Protect, we are going to roll out many more products in times to come, which will complete our basket of waterproofing. At least the products which are very, very having good synergy with paint, dealer base, paint channel. So those products we are going to launch and roll out very soon in the next 3-4 months' time.
Awesome. Thanks for this, sir. All of it.
Yeah. Thank you, Ramesh. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take that as a last question. I now hand the floor back to Mr. Mohit Dontar for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everyone. I'm really grateful that you all have attended this meeting, and we really had a fruitful discussion and a lovely discussion. Thank you very much. Be safe and stay safe.
Thank you. On behalf of Shalimar Paints Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your line.